Without fire, there is no light, no warmth, no passion, no action, no change. But a single flame can ignite life, hope, passion, power, fire. Destitute of the fire of God, nothing else counts. Possessed in fire, nothing else matters. Let the Holy Spirit ignite a fire in you that will burn for the glory of God. For our Lord has promised us, He will ignite the kingdom life within you. A fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Ignite. Join us at Agape House New Testament Church every weekend, beginning August 17th and 18th, as we seek God for a fresh outpouring of fire. Ignite Sermon Series, Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, near ENC Square, East Legon.
Good morning, and welcome once again to Revelation. This is the classroom of the ear, bringing you truth for today. God bless you for joining me today as we continue our teaching series called Mind Games. Now, this is the third week of our series, and it's been a great journey as we discover the truth from God's Word about how to win the battle for our minds. Each week in this series, we've been studying a powerful verse from the Bible found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's begin today once again by reading that verse altogether out loud. It's right there on your television screen. Are you ready? Let's go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout this series, we've been studying the powerful truths found in this simple verse in Romans 12:2. If you happen to miss any of the past messages, I want to encourage you to go to my website at www.revrcw.com after today's broadcast. On the website, you can watch or listen to the past lessons. You can also download the teaching notes and the study guides for these important episodes. Now, I want you to visit the website today because these messages will change your life. And I literally mean that, because that's exactly what this verse in Romans 12:2 tells us. It says God wants to transform you into a new person. He wants to change you to become just like Jesus. He wants to take away the old, sin-filled life and replace it with a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life of hope and power and peace and love and joy. Amen. But the most interesting thing is the manner by which God will change us. And that's the truth we've been studying for these few weeks. Lasting life change takes place in you when you change the way you think. See, Romans 12:2 is teaching us that if you change your thinking, you will change your life. The Bible tells us clearly that right thinking over time equals lasting life change. And when you fill your mind with God's truth, it will result in God's life being lived through you. It will change your actions, your emotions, and even your destiny. Now, this is the reason why so many people who call themselves Christians do not have victory in their lives. Have you ever wondered why so many people in the church struggle with sin? Does it ever bother you that so many Christians seem to live lives that are no different or no better than people who don't even go to church at all? Most of the time, the problem is in our minds. We think the same thoughts as unbelievers. We fill our minds with the same TV and radio and newspaper and film shows as sinners. We focus our attention on the same issues and belief as sinners. And it's no wonder we end up with the same results, the same lifestyle as sinners. You see, friends, the fact is this: if you think God's thoughts, you'll live God's type of life. Another way to say it is this: if I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. So just say that after me today. If I could see as God sees, I would do as God says. What I mean by that is this: if I could see my life today from God's point of view, I would understand why He tells me to do what He tells me to do. I would find it easier to obey because I would see things the way God sees them. Think about this truth like this. Imagine, for example, some boys are out on the field playing football. As the match is being played, the ball is going back and forth, and there's a lot of excitement and laughter. And suddenly, one of the boys kicks the ball too hard, and it goes flying off the field and goes into the road. Well, one of the young boys, in his excitement to get the ball, chases after the ball and runs out into the road without looking. What he doesn't see is that a car is coming with speed down the road. But his friends see it. They see what he doesn't see. And so they call out to him, "Kofi, stop! Look out! There's a car coming!" They see what he cannot see. And so they're able to warn him of the danger ahead. If he could see what they see, then he would willingly and eagerly do what they tell him to do. In fact, when he hears their voice, he looks up and sees that it's true, and is able to get out of the way before the car comes along. This is the way it is with us and God. God looks down from heaven and sees what you and I don't see. He warns us in His Word of the danger that lies ahead if we follow the path of sin. If you can see what God sees, then you would do what God says. If you could see the danger of that relationship that you're entering into today, if you could see it as God sees it, you would run away from it. If you could see the trouble that that sin would bring to your life, you would flee from it. If you saw the future as God sees it, you would know that He is leading you on the path of truth to give you a better life. He wants to save you, not harm you. He wants to bless you, not kill you. When you have God's understanding, you have all that you need for success in life. But when you lack godly understanding, it makes you run away from the very thing you need to progress to the next level. That's why we're teaching here at Revelation. That's why this is the classroom of the air, because we want you to understand the truth. Now, the devil knows that as well. That's why Satan always plays mind games with you. He knows that if he can keep you from the truth, then he can keep you in bondage. If he can keep you believing lies, he can destroy you. That's why I believe you need to mind the truth. So, how do we mind the truth? The problem for man is that he can't always discern truth from error. In fact, let me ask you a question today. Has there ever been a time in your life when someone lied to you and you believed that lie? Have you ever been deceived? You may have had a good intention, but you honestly got duped. In fact, I'll confess, it's happened to me. For you see, the fact is we human beings are not all that good at always knowing truth from error. So if we're going to mind the truth, we need some help today. We need to understand the truth about lies, the truth about truth, and the truth about our own thinking. So let's look at those three topics today: the truth about lies, the truth about truth, and the truth about our own thinking. And as we do that, I believe God is going to give you revelation that will help you to discern the truth. Let's begin with the truth about lies. For the fact is this: in order to fill our minds with truth, we first have to understand lies. The first place the enemy tries to defeat us in the battle for our minds is by placing lies in our thoughts. If he can convince you of the lies he promotes, that they're true, he can keep you in bondage. Jesus knew this fact. That's why in John 8:44 he said this, "You are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and of all that is false." Did you hear what Jesus said there? The devil is the father of all lies and of all things that are false. So Jesus makes it very clear. There's no truth in Satan. Lying is his native language. Every lie, every falsehood comes from him. And that's the very weapon he's used from the beginning of time to destroy man. His main attack against us is against the truth of God's word. If you take a moment with me and go back to man's story in Genesis 3, 1-7, the Bible tells us that God had given Adam and Eve complete freedom in the garden. They were blessed with fellowship with God, with one another, and with the whole world as their possession. There was only one simple command God gave them. There were two trees he told them not to eat from. And yet that one simple command, that one simple truth from God was the very thing the devil came to attack. Listen to verse 1 from Genesis 3. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' Then in verse 4 he lies and says, 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. But verse 6 tells us the sad truth. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. And sin entered the world, and death and sickness and poverty and every bad thing entered the world, all because the woman believed a lie. The lie entered her mind, and Satan was able to darken her mind and deceive her mind with the lie. If she had seen what God saw, she would have done what God said. But she allowed a lie to blind her mind, and she did what she thought was good for her. In the end, it led to more sorrow than she could ever imagine." And you and I are still suffering from that sin today. And every time I read this story from Genesis 3, I always marvel at how easily Eve was deceived. I think to myself, what is wrong with her? Why couldn't she see the danger and the deceitfulness of Satan? What was she thinking? And yet, if we're honest, we have to admit that we have all believed lies from Satan. For we've all disobeyed God's word. We've all thought, I know better than God. My way will make me happy. God's way is not good for me. We've all believed lies. And the simple reason is this. Our own sin makes us more susceptible to lies. Eve looked at the fruit and she wanted it. Her desire for the fruit led her to believe the lie. She let her feelings overrule her thoughts, and death was the result. And that's exactly what God tells us happens to all of us in James 1, 14-15. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see, friends, we believe lies because our own sinful desires open the door for us to be deceived. That's why sometimes even clever, even educated people make very bad choices. They're led astray by the sinful desires of their own heart and mind. But the good news for all of us is this. Lies by themselves have no power over you. In fact, we must all realize the statement on the screen right now. The only time a lie has power is when we believe it. That's why the battle for our minds is not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. We overcome the lies of Satan by exposing them with truth. If you can replace lies with truth, you can overcome the deception of Satan. If you can focus on believing God's truth instead of Satan's lies, you will be set free. For whenever we believe the truth, there is no more room for lies. So, this is the truth about lies. Now, let's take our second step and understand the truth about truth. For you see, God's word is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And Jesus tells us that God's word is truth, not man's thoughts, not Satan's lies, not human reasoning, not education or intelligence, but the truth of God's word. If you want to search for the truth, you've got to go straight to their Bible. And there can be no compromise with the truth. There are not two sides to God's truth. There's only one truth, and it's found in the Bible. That's why I like to say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover, and I believe the cover when it says Holy Bible. Once there were two men who had an argument. To settle the dispute, they went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case. He was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. When he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right, that's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a second, judge, you haven't even heard my side of the case yet." So the judge told the defendant to state his case, and he too was very persuasive and eloquent. And when he finished, the judge said, "That's right, that's right." When the clerk of the court heard this, he jumped up and said, "Judge, they can't both be right." And the judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, "That's right, that's right." Friends, you can't have it both ways. There's not different types of truth. There's only one truth. Left to ourselves, we would not be able to know truth from error. Left to ourselves, none of us have the wisdom on our own to know who's telling the truth and who's not. But God has not left us alone. He's not left us without a hope. He's shared His truth with us so that we can see as He sees and do as He does. And His word is that truth. For there is no lie in God's word. There is no error, no mistake, no fault in the Bible. It is the truth and nothing but the truth. And when you choose to believe the truth of God's word, you will win the battle of the mind. For we cannot be deceived when we believe God's truth. It is a sword that cuts through the lies and exposes our mind to God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. God's word is living and full of power. It is more sharp than any sword that cuts on both sides. What God says cuts through and divides the mind and the spirit. What God says is able to judge the things people think and plan in their hearts. When we expose our thoughts to God's word, it sanctifies our minds. It brings us light and helps us see as God sees, and it sets us free. You're probably familiar with the famous words of Jesus found in John 8:32, when He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But let's take a moment and step back and read the verse just before it. For you see, right before then, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said this in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." And that's the key, my friends. The truth found in God's word is the truth that will set us free. Sometimes you can pass primary schools or high schools and you'll see that they have the motto, "The truth will set you free." But friends, it's not the truth about science. It's not the truth about mathematics. It's not the truth about English language. It's the truth that comes from God's word. That's the truth Jesus said would set you free. So you've got to fill your heart and mind with God's word. You've got to let it live inside of you. For the truth cannot set you free if you don't believe it. It won't set you free if you don't accept it. It won't set you free if you don't love it and embrace it and get it into your heart and mind. It will only set you free when you reject the lies and receive God's word and let it abide in you and live in you. You will avoid your greatest regret when you allow the truth of God's word to guide your life. How is that possible? How can you allow the truth of God's word to guide you day and night? How can you avoid the lies of Satan and embrace God's truth so that you can live in success? Well, that brings us to our third point today, the truth about true thoughts. I don't want to think my own thoughts. I don't want you to think your thoughts. We all want to think true thoughts. I want to be a true thinker. I want to replace every lie, every day, with the truth of God's word. For you see, when I do, it changes me. The more I dwell on His truth, the more I'm changed. And true thoughts will influence your way and your view of everything. like wearing glasses, it will change your perspective so that you can see as God sees, and you'll be able to do what God says to do. That's why Titus 1:15 says, "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted." Since true thoughts influences my view of everything, I must make sure I work every day to grow in my true thinking. That's why 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Friends, that's my prayer for you today, that you will bring every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be your goal, that every thought, every day, will become a prisoner to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking every thought captive literally means to apprehend it by brute force. You have to arrest your thoughts like a policeman arresting a thief. And here's the fact. Either you or your thoughts will become a prisoner. Either you or your thoughts will be held captive. If you don't control your thoughts and bring them captive, if you don't accept true thoughts, then you yourself will become a prisoner, a slave to sin. But if you bring your thoughts under control, under the power of the truth of God's Word, then you yourself will be free. Too many of us today have way too casual of an attitude towards our thoughts. We think, well, what I think in my own mind doesn't matter. No one sees it, no one knows, and it doesn't affect me. But today I challenge you to be aggressive, to fill your mind with God's Word every day, and see the difference that truth makes in your life. For the Bible was not written for information. It was written for transformation. That's why my prayer for you is found in Romans 15, 5 and 6. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." May God grant you the same mind as Jesus Christ had. May all your thoughts be His thoughts. May you have one mind to glorify God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, friends, it's not possible for you to have the mind of Christ if you've never been born again. So as we close today's broadcast, I want to take a few minutes to talk to you sincerely about giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. If we continue on the path of living our own life with our own thinking and deceived by the devil, then we will stray like Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3. Because of their belief in the lie of Satan, because they rejected the truth of God, they fell into sin. And the resulting damage to their life is still being seen in the world today. Every problem, every sin, every hardship, every grief, every sorrow can directly be traced back to Adam and Eve rejecting the truth. You're in that same position today unless you've given your life to Christ, unless you've come to Him and asked Him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you. Unless you've asked Him to come inside you and make you born again, unless you've surrendered yourself to Him, you too are in a position like Adam and Eve, where you're far from God and where the resulting death and damage of sin is continually weighing you down and destroying your life. The good news is for you that Jesus Christ came to set you free. For the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you come to Christ and give your life to Him, you can come confessing your sins. He's promised to forgive you. For 1 John 1:9 says, "Confess your sins to God, and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." When you pray and ask the Lord to come into your heart and take control of your life, to put His truth and His thoughts in you, you will become born again. The Spirit of the living God will fall upon you and revive the Spirit within you so that the life of God will stay and remain in you. I want to encourage you to do that right now. I'd like to pray with you. In fact, I'd like to lead you in a prayer so that you can follow me in this prayer. And as you pray sincerely from your heart, asking Christ to forgive you, to cleanse your mind of the lies, and to bring you new life, I know the Spirit of the living God is going to come and touch you and change you today. Would you just take a moment and pray with me right now? Bow your head and say after me, "My Father in heaven, I confess to you today, I have believed a lie. I have lived in sin. I've disobeyed your word. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and make me born again. I ask you to touch me and set me free by your truth. I surrender my life to you and promise to live for you. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen." Let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch each and every person listening to this broadcast today. I pray your Holy Spirit will come upon them, that you will make them born again. Show them the truth today, God, the truth about their sin, the truth about your word, the truth about your salvation. Father, I pray you open up every eye and every heart, that their lives would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bind every work of the devil against my friends today, in the name of Jesus, and I loose the Spirit of the living God to fall upon each and every one listening. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, I trust that as you've prayed with me today, the Holy Spirit is making an impact, making a difference in your life, and I would like to hear from you. So please, take a moment after the program today and send me an email or pick up the phone and call me. The information that you need to contact me is on your television screen right now. The phone numbers are there. The email address is there. Take a moment and write me or call me today and say, you know, Reverend, I've given my life to Christ. I prayed with you on the Revelation TV show, and now I want to serve Jesus Christ. We have some material we would love to make available for you that will help you to grow in your faith as you continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, don't forget to join me next week at this very time, on this day, on this station, for our final episode in the Mind Games teaching series. You're going to discover so much more about the truth and how it will set you free. I look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, may God richly bless you. Goodbye for now.